I read all the best Bitcoin content out there so that you can listen. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read with Guy Swan. I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. Welcome back to the Crypto Economy with Guy Swan, and we are finishing out the second edition of the Bitcoin Times here at the beginning of this week, and got a couple of really great pieces left in this one, and I was saving this one to start the week off. This one is by Rory Highside, and it is titled Proof of Work, The Fundamental Laws of Physics and Nature. And without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this piece, and we'll hit some commentary afterward. Proof of Work, The Fundamental Laws of Physics and Nature. Almost since the dawn of Bitcoin, there has been a hot debate over whether the value of proof of work in cryptocurrency systems, and whereby the apparent wasteful use of energy by Bitcoin to secure its system, will one day destroy the Earth. Unfortunately, there still remains a basic misunderstanding of the value of this proof of work, and the fundamental relationship to energy and work that makes up any and every system in the known universe. One of the least understood and oft-cited technologies of this crazy universe is the emergent complex system called Bitcoin, and thus by extension, the intrinsically linked proof of work that derives the engine under its hood, metabolizing raw energy as its life force. There are many ways to describe Bitcoin the system, Bitcoin the product, and the relationship to the underlying proof of work, but an overview of how the Bitcoin system functions at a high level is, quote, the network timestamps transactions by hashing them into an ongoing chain of hash-based proof of work, forming a record that cannot be changed without redoing the proof of work. The longest chain not only serves as proof of the sequence of events witnessed, but proof that it came from the largest pool of CPU power. End quote. Satoshi Nakamoto, The Bitcoin White Paper. The idea of Bitcoin was to create a reliable, decentralized network upon which all transactions could be recorded and stored, that was able to be validated by anyone. The issue was, how do you manage a ledger of transactions amongst a globally distributed database entirely without a central point of failure, with a set of users who may or may not be known to each other in a potentially adversarial environment, all while ensuring that consensus is practically always achieved? The answer to this equation fundamentally lies in a unique method of solving the Byzantine general's problem, a thought experiment proposed while designing fault-tolerant consensus systems to accurately replicate the state of systems in aircraft. Consensus and the Byzantine General's Problem. Fundamentally, reliable computer systems must be able to handle malfunctioning components that can give conflicting information to different parts of the system. This is exponentially harder when you begin to network multiple computer systems across a distributed network, particularly when there is no lead or authority. Quote, the situation can be expressed abstractly in terms of a group of generals of the Byzantine army camped with their troops around an enemy city. Communicating only by messenger, the generals must agree upon a common battle plan. However, one or more of them may be traitors who will try to confuse the others. The problem is to find an algorithm to ensure that the loyal generals will reach agreement. End quote. The Byzantine General's Problem. Leslie Lamport, Robert Shostak, and Marshall Pease. In distributed computing, consensus protocols are used to achieve accurate state machine replication. A state machine simply being a mathematical model of computation, and state machine replication is the general method of implementing a fault-tolerant process to replicate these computing states globally in a distributed system. The Bitcoin blockchain is simply a timestamp record of all state transitions, and the network itself is a decentralized timestamp server, stamping the first transaction to spend a coin to solve the issue of double spending in a system without a central coordinator. Nakamoto Consensus, the protocol created by Satoshi Nakamoto, achieves its solution to the Byzantine General's problem by utilizing proof of work to provide an economic cost to becoming the leader, or in other words, the network participant that may, providing all rules are followed and consensus is achieved, update the state of the Bitcoin blockchain. To update the state of Bitcoin, miners must first compete via proof of work to find the solution to a cryptographic puzzle that abides by the rules of the system, with the winner of this race becoming the newly appointed leader. Once found, the leader must then update the state in a way that conforms to all of the consensus rules of the system, or else it will merely be rejected by all other participants. Proof of work and competition. Proof of work ultimately makes this process cost-intensive and makes the mathematical odds of becoming the chosen leader completely random and indeterminable. Nakamoto Consensus follows the chain of work with the most accumulated proof of work as a key consensus rule, aiding in the self-organization of the Bitcoin system. Participants are economically incentivized to be honest, as adversaries who attempt to create inaccurate states merely waste resources attempting to defraud the system. Proof of work economically incentivizes Bitcoin to become the ultimate arbiter of truth. By utilizing proof of work for both the security and the issuance mechanism, the Bitcoin system leverages the selfish gene that all living species have in order to create a system that comes to collective agreement whilst still working competitively. Bitcoin is the sum of its many subsystems, united to create a combinatory system, one that is led by Darwinian fitness in an elegant energy-transforming race to secure its network, whereby, in return for participation, miners are rewarded with Bitcoin. The product of this work, Bitcoin, is exchanged for the trust and security that these miners deliver to the overall Bitcoin system, which becomes increasingly anti-fragile and thus increasingly fitter as these security network effects compound. Miners, the warriors at the front line of Bitcoin's defense system, are evolutionarily fit to protect its value. They work hard securing the network, the state of its ledger, and the distributed timestamp server via an energy-intensive exercise. Hence, they deserve to be paid accordingly for providing this impenetrable wall of thermodynamic potential. That this work is increasingly hard makes it unlikely that an adversary could outcompete the cumulative work provided by the honest, cooperative majority. The symbiotic relationship miners have with Bitcoin forms a system that's whole is greater than the sum of its parts, the apex proof-of-work collective. Why proof is important. Work exists in every and all systems known to man, and the fundamental constant of the universe is that this work always requires energy. Energy is merely the ability to bring about change, in other words, perform work. The more energy that exists in a system, the more thermodynamic potential, or simply put, the more useful work we can perform, hence the more value it can provide. It is therefore a universal truth that all work has a measurable cost of energy transformation due to the very nature of the universe and the laws of thermodynamics. It is with these laws that we underpin Bitcoin's proof of work. Proof of work is the unforgeable record of expended time and resources. Therefore, we can define proof of work as merely demonstrated proof of time and resources. this expenditure of time and resources subsequently give us a simple mechanism to measure production cost by, and whereby to secure and distribute the product of this work. It is through this procedure that we enact what we describe as unforgeable costliness. Quote, 1. Find or create a class of objects that is highly improbable, takes much effort to make, or both, and such that the measure of their costliness can be verified by other parties. 2. Use the objects to enable a protocol or institution to cross trust boundaries. End quote. Nick Szabo, Antiques, Time, Gold, and BitGold. Providing proof of this work creates an unforgeable record of expended energy utilized to secure and to remove entropy from within the Bitcoin accounting system. Bitcoin metabolizes this provided energy to make its heart beat roughly every 10 minutes. Upon this beat, that is, the finding of a new block, Bitcoin broadcasts its latest state to all nodes in the network, flooding the system with the latest block, like a virus, until all nodes reflect its current state. The result of Bitcoin's redundancy in state being duplicated tens of thousands of times across the entire planet is to make an almost completely impervious and indestructible system, one that could survive even a nuclear holocaust. Bitcoin is the unkillable cockroach that may outsurvive mankind itself in some form. Wherever even a single copy of Bitcoin exists, the network can yet again be bootstrapped, however difficult the process may be. Bitcoin, a self-expanding, self-replicating, self-organizing, nuclear-proof, distributed accounting system for the digital age. Energy. Energy is the unit of all life, the constant that is utilized within all systems to perform useful work. It is the fundamental currency that all life transacts with. This energy is a necessary tool utilized in the act of rearranging matter and information. All energy is bound by the unflinching laws of thermodynamics, meaning energy can never be destroyed, merely transformed. That work must have a measurable energy cost is due to these inherent laws of the universe, physics, and the laws of thermodynamics. These absolute universal laws mean there is no such thing as a free lunch, ever. Therefore, we can demonstrate Bitcoin is secured via proof of the undeniable laws of thermodynamics that bind our universe, eating energy to sustain its metabolism, transforming information, proliferating, and self-organizing its system. Quote, Bitcoin is the first example of a new form of life. It lives and breathes on the internet. It lives because it can pay people to keep it alive. It lives because it performs a useful service that people will pay it to perform. It lives because anyone, anywhere can run a copy of its code. It lives because all the running copies are constantly talking to each other. It lives because if any one copy is corrupted, it is discarded quickly and without any fuss or muss. End quote. Ralph Merkle. World Kilowatt Dollars. The great futurist and scientist Buckminster Fuller wrote of an energy-backed currency in his novel Critical Path in 1981, with a prophetically accurate description of the DNA within the Bitcoin system. Quote, in this cosmically uniform common energy value system for all humanity, costing will be expressed in kilowatt hours, and watt seconds of work. Kilowatt hours will become the prime criteria of costing the production of the complex of metabolic involvements per each function or item. These uniform energy evaluations will replace all the world's wildly intervarying, opinion gambled upon, top power system manipulable monetary systems. The time energy world accounting system will do away with all the inequities now occurring in regard to the arbitrarily maneuverable banker invented international balance of trade accounting. End quote. Buckminster Fuller. Bitcoin time energy accounting and thermodynamics. The proof of work under the hood of the Bitcoin security and reward system provides one of the most powerful, albeit novel, uses of modern cryptographic and computing technology. Utilizing modern silicon and consuming vast sums of energy to find a cryptographic needle in the haystack that can never be forged or simulated. Miners race to find this exponentially difficult and unforgeable hash collision that is less than or equal to the current target of the network. The subsequent rate of this computation effort we can define and measure is known as hash rate. Hash rate, or hash per second in Bitcoin, is an SI-derived unit, i.e. derived from the base units specified by the International System of Units, representing the number of double SHA-256 computations performed in 1 second. The hash per second unit is also part of a common measure of a Bitcoin miner's electricity efficiency in the terms of watts per terahash per second, denoted as W/TH/S, 1 watt being exactly equal to 1 joule per second. More on this later. A measure that can also be expressed as joule per terahash, i.e., joules per trillion hashes. As of 2019, a current generation Antminer S17 Pro has an efficiency of 49.5 joules per terahash, and this efficiency will likely continue to increase with time as technology progresses, although note that we are currently entering a maturation stage of ASIC design, whereby we begin to approach the law of diminishing returns and the physical limitations of chip design due to electrical resistance approaching smaller nanometer scales. In October 2019, the Bitcoin system was secured by a 7-day average of 98 exahash of computation. That is a combined global hash rate of 98 quintillion hashes per second, or 98,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, task. To put this in comparison to modern supercomputers, the fastest computer in the world is currently the IBM Summit at 200 petaflops, while the Bitcoin network is currently hashing at a speed of 80,704,290 petaflops, more than 400,000 times faster. SHA-256 hash results are pseudo-random, meaning they give the same result for the same input, but by changing the input even slightly, we will get a completely different and unpredictable pseudo-random result. Only by miners finding a low enough hashed value in the pseudo-randomness and constructing a valid block meeting all consensus protocol rules will your block be accepted by the Bitcoin system and net the product of the block reward, the sum of the current block subsidy, N subsidy, and transaction fees, N fees. The result is a new block containing transactions that are mined roughly every 10 minutes, updating the global Bitcoin state, thereby returning the state to zero or as close to entropy. The artifact of this state change is the Bitcoin blockchain, time energy chain, and Bitcoin time energy. The whole is much greater than the sum of its parts. The self-reinforcing Bitcoin system of rewards is a conglomerate of subsystems ultimately responsible for creating and securing a self-replicating, self-organizing, sovereign, time-energy world accounting system. We can describe the complex, self-organizing Bitcoin system as such. Bitcoin's network is secured by a process called proof of work, more commonly known as mining. Mining is merely the computation of cryptographic hashes by specialized mining hardware to solve an unforgeable puzzle. The double SHA-256 hashing utilized for this function also underpins the Bitcoin block structure, with each transaction having a corresponding hash that is itself hashed, sometimes several times, together to form the Merkle root contained inside the block header. This header is utilized within the cryptographic computational puzzle they seek to solve, and contains the header of the previous block, therefore linking each block together cryptographically, making forgery probabilistically impossible without employing the energy required to perform a full rewrite. The produced hash rate results in the transformation of energy and time, or work, at which cost we can measure in joules. Energy is transformed in Bitcoin's perpetual quest to remove entropy from, secure, and replicate its state in perpetuum. In this entirely decentralized system, there is no central authority. Instead, the nodes form a decentralized agreement, consensus, through a protocol that hinges upon proof of work to secure it. The proof of work functions as civil resistance for the network by making changes to the ledger artificially expensive and creating a scenario where attackers would have to irrationally spend excess amounts of time and resources to compete against the honest majority of miners. Sybil attack is where an entity creates false identities or nodes within a system in an attempt to gain influence over the network. A network's vulnerability to Sybil is determined by how cheaply you can create these identities. Proof of work secures and provides the energy to fuel the self-organizing, self-replicating, energy-metabolizing network, creating part of a feedback loop of network effects that sustains its proliferation. The cumulative work process progressively hardens the system's security, building a digitally represented, impenetrable fortress of thermodynamic potential that not only thwarts would-be adversaries, but converts them into supporters of the Bitcoin time energy accounting system. As each successive block is found, the proof of this work compounds and crystallizes into time, resulting in the artifact called the Bitcoin blockchain, the product of the miner's hash computations and the network's consensus rules. A secure, verifiably accurate, cryptographically linked chain of blocks, transactions, and accumulated work dating back to the Genesis block. You can visualize this as a cryptographically linked time-energy chain stretching back to Genesis, i.e. time zero, the creation of the first block. The Bitcoin system self-organizes by determining that the correct chain is the one with the most cumulative proof of work meeting its inherent consensus rules, making a successful attack's requirement to meet this cumulative work, and thereby becoming increasingly difficult as the network effects grow in mass and value. Emission schedule. The Bitcoin system, from its inception at the Genesis on January 3, 2009, was given an emission rate of exactly 50 Bitcoins per block subsidy, delivered at roughly once every 10 minutes to miners via the block reward, the product of the block subsidy and transaction fees. Block reward equals fees plus subsidy. The half-life cycle of the subsidy is once every 210,000 blocks, roughly 4 years, at which time the subsidy emission rate is reduced by a factor of 1/2. This emission decay process continues each half-life cycle until no more Bitcoin are produced at the absolute limit of 21 million units. At this point of maturation in the Bitcoin life cycle, only fees remain as the economic incentive to mine, and thus Bitcoin's gravity must increase accordingly to sustain this economic system, with only transaction fees subsidizing hash rate by roughly 2140. This monetary policy is intrinsic to Bitcoin and hard-coded into the system to remain entirely immutable and impenetrable to top-down control. The Bitcoin metabolism. The thermodynamic potential and the subsequent hash rate securing the system has a direct relationship with the Bitcoin mining difficulty. As the hash rate rises or falls, thus does the security and difficulty to mine a block. This mechanism produces a stabilization effect on block times and creates a network that self-regulates its metabolism, or in other words, the rate of which it produces blocks and consumes energy. Every 2016 blocks, roughly 2 weeks, the difficulty adjustment algorithm regulates based on the average hash rate of the prior 2016 mined blocks. This results in Bitcoin creating a predictable issuance of roughly 10 minutes per metabolic cycle, or 6 cycles per hour, i.e., when each subsequent proof-of-work puzzle is solved. The subsystem controlling this cycle could therefore be considered the internal Bitcoin metabolism, keeping its metabolic rate, or heart rate, ticking along to roughly every 10 minutes, regulating its production in perpetuum. This half-life and metabolic rate creates a stock-to-flow of Bitcoin that is entirely predictable, and with the subsequent hard limit to production, the Bitcoin produced is the most verifiably scarce commodity to ever come into existence. The requirement of every additional energy and time to produce the same result as competition increases bolsters both the system's security and its hardness, i.e., the difficulty at which it is to produce. The sum of Bitcoin's mining difficulty system and its hard-coded monetary policy, giving it an absolute scarcity, combine to produce unforgeable costliness. The culmination of this security and incentives model is Bitcoin, a cryptographically secured system of rewards that gives us an ability to abstract time and energy, thereby store, trade, or transport it through time and space securely in the digital realm, forever along the Bitcoin system's time-energy chain. The product of this unforgeable thermodynamic energy transformation, or work performed, to secure the Bitcoin network is Bitcoin, a digital commodity that is granularly divisible, fungible, incorruptible, transportable, and counterfeit-proof with an absolute scarcity of 21 million Bitcoin units. Part 2. Why thermodynamics matter, and matters thermodynamic. Oh, this is a long one. All right, let's take a break real quick. I need to relax for a minute, and then we will get into part 2. This one's a little bit shorter. The first part is a little bit over half, and I may or may not have time to get into the commentary, but I'm going to go ahead and hurry and try to get through this so that maybe we do. All right, let's go ahead and hit our sponsor, and we'll jump back in. Part 2. Why thermodynamics matter, and matters thermodynamic. In the first half, we covered the scientific processes in the Bitcoin system and its energy use. In this half, we will relate this to physics, thermodynamics, and the universe around us. Energy of the gods. Energy is the currency of life, the fundamental key to everything at all scales of the universe. The macro progress of civilization, the Kardashev scale, is merely a scale to measure a civilization's total potential energy capture. Therefore, it makes logical sense that the monetary system of a technologically evolved Type 1 civilization is fundamentally based on the construct of codifying energy, time, and cooperation. We cannot begin to approach a Type 1 civilization without shifting our collective thinking to a universe of post-scarcity. It's evolution, baby. Bitcoin, the apolitical time-energy chain, is the next logical step in human civilization's progression and social self-ordering, uniting the human race with self-interest and economic incentives by codifying time, energy, and cooperation, hardening Earth's resolve to act as one spaceship. United we stand, divided we fall, destroying the Earth with wanton destruction caused by burning fossil fuels. Type 1 civilization is a civilization that can harness the entirety of the energy that falls on its planet from the parent star. For Earth's sun system, this value is close to 7 times 10 to the 17th watts, which is more than 5 orders of magnitude higher than the amount presently attained on Earth, with energy consumption at 4 times 10 to the 19th erg per second, or 4 times 10 to the 12th watts. Wikipedia. What the hell has thermodynamics got to do with anything, especially Bitcoin? To understand how these abstract concepts of thermodynamics, physics, Bitcoin, and proof-of-work gel together at the very genetic level, you need at least a cursory understanding of armchair physics and thermodynamics. First, we must define work. Work is merely the transfer of energy from one place to another, or from one form to another. To picture this, imagine that the universe is constantly at work around us, at the quantum, atomic, and even at the micro scale. Energy is everywhere, and we can tap into this and harness it to produce useful work, products, information, or electrical energy, electricity. The jewel of the crown. One way we can measure the magnitude of this work is in joules, which is a derived unit of energy used in the International System of Units, 1 kilowatt being 1,000 watts, and 1 hour being 3,600 seconds. Therefore, 1 kilowatt hour of electricity is equal to 3,600,000 joules of energy. 1 joule is the energy dissipated as heat when electric current of 1 ampere passes through a resistance of 1 ohm for 1 second. This transformation of energy can be described simply as the laws of physics, and by extension, thermodynamics. First law of thermodynamics, or the law of conservation. The energy of a closed system equals heat minus work. The first law of thermodynamics states that the change in the internal energy, or delta U, of a closed system is equal to the amount of heat, or Q, supplied to the system minus the amount of work, W, done by the system on its surroundings. The second law of thermodynamics. In essence, the second law states that all closed systems gravitate towards maximization of entropy. Therefore, is ever increasing. Energy must be added to a system to overcome this natural tendency towards entropy. Entropy equals order and disorder. Entropy is simply the measure of the distribution of matter and/or energy information, or how spread out and disorganized it is. Energy is really only useful when it's ordered and clumped together. So the more concentrated and ordered, or the lower the entropy, the higher the potential energy output, therefore increasing its ultimate usefulness to perform potential work. Yes, science! Essentially, thermodynamics means you can only ever get as much out as what you put in, and you can never get as much out as you put in. One of the principles that guides the entire world around us is the law of conservation. This simply means the unflinching law of the universe is that energy cannot be created or destroyed, and that it is always conserved and transformed. If work is performed, energy is needed, and heat is a obvious and necessary side effect. Just think of friction. While the total energy of a closed system is always conserved. One way to think about how these laws apply to our natural reality is the universe is a closed system, and that the entropy of the universe is always increasing. The heat of the universe is dissipating, so the total energy stays constant. Therefore, there is no such thing as waste in the universe system, only transformation. We are all always in a constant fight with entropy, and the ultimate boss battle ends in the heat death of the universe. Heat is merely a form of kinetic energy which we can measure in kelvins, or heat is merely energy in transit. Absolute zero, 0 Kelvin or negative 273.15 degrees Celsius, is the lowest theoretically possible temperature on the thermodynamic temperature scale, where all thermal motion ceases. Thus, no heat energy remains. The heat death of the universe is just such high entropy that the energy is spread so far apart and is no longer useful for anything. It's not absolute zero, but no more work, no more movement, no more life. Don't worry, it's 10 to the 100 years away. But at this point in time, there no longer remains enough heat energy to increase entropy. Time, the arrow that is the natural artifact of the universe's entropy, stands utterly still. Finito. Chaos and order. Both energy and information are both infinitely more useful when neat and ordered, i.e., when it has low observed entropy. This is why the conversion of energy from sources such as fossil fuels has radically advanced our society, enabling the exponential expansion in networks of cities and economies. Fossil fuels are burned, transforming them into heat. This thermodynamic transformation of energy then powers giant mechanical steam turbines. The product of this mechanical work is in turn converted into electricity. And finally, this electricity is delivered to your home as a useful product for your myriad of electronic devices. Science. As this energy travels over long distances, there is substantial amounts of entropy. This is due to the resistance and conductivity of metal, creating heat and energy loss, resulting in thermodynamic transformation. Electric energy, or electricity, is merely useful energy that is transportable over somewhat long distances. Smashing the Coulomb barrier. Entropy is all around us, and it requires vast energy to fight against its natural inclination to continually increase. This insane human fight against entropy to unlock thermodynamic potential is what will catapult us into the future. As humanity begins to not only harvest vast ambient energy, but eventually also mass-produce fusion reactors. In order to achieve nuclear fusion, particles must first be able to overcome the electric repulsion labeled the Coulomb barrier, named after physicist Charles Augustin de Coulomb. In order for a nuclear strong force to take over and undergo nuclear fusion, particles must first break this barrier. This new frontier of energy production will provide the required energy to smash the Coulomb barrier in mass, capturing the Earth system's abundant, stored, clean thermodynamic potential and scaling our energy production exponentially. Spaceship Earth must work together as one if we are ever going to overcome the devastating pollution that we have created in the Earth system, and to solve the immediate engineering challenges clean energy production poses. Scarce, resource-based energy creates a vast number of security and scarcity issues plaguing the dove and hawk geopolitics of the world. Not to mention the burning of these resources threatens our very long-term existence. We have to believe in a world of abundance and not one of scarcity. Earth needs to band together to tackle the socioeconomic challenges our shared world is facing, and cooperate in the race to clean up a damaged planet that we have needlessly abused with fossil fuels and wanton destruction. Energy use is not the root of the systemic problem. Energy is the currency of life that fuels the advancement of all civilization. The current unscalable, destructive, pollutant paradigm of scarce fossil fuel burning for energy creation is the multi-trillion dollar problem plaguing humankind. We must cooperate to solve it. Energy plus time plus cooperation. Bitcoin is an apolitical monetary system that codifies time, energy, and cooperation, incentivizing the human race towards maximal efficiency of the potential capture and conversion of energy into usable forms. The act of harnessing the abundance of our universe, fusion energy, the power of the stars and the gods. Fusion energy harnessed will catapult us towards the heavens as a civilization, aiding as humankind begins our rapid ascent to interstellar demigods. There is no such thing as scarcity, only thermodynamic potential and the arrangement of matter and information. In theory, all states and distribution of matter are replicable. At the atomic and subatomic level, all matter is merely information and energy distribution. The deconstruction and reconstruction of matter is a technological problem. Once solved, we're working on it, there will be no longer a scientific absolute scarcity of any element in the universe. Through technological advancement, all matter will be able to be rearranged. Therefore, all matter and energy is abundant. Only unforgeable digital scarcity can be absolute. Therefore, only time and energy and the sum of their product have any quantitative value. Digital scarcity, the ability to remain unforgeable, is the only scarce product of creation known to man. Cambrian abundance. The competitive need for efficient energy conversion and the market's insatiable demand to trade will create a Cambrian explosion of abundance and creativity, an apolitical energy renaissance driven by the free market demand to unlock thermodynamic potential. Post-scarcity will bring about the cooperation of humankind as spaceship Earth. The entire world should be radically increasing the efficiency of energy capture and total consumption of energy to produce useful work, not seeking the reduction of total energy consumption per capita through draconian taxation measures. We can lean into a Type 1 civilization and beyond without destroying ourselves in the process. Advance humanity to the next level by cooperating, or burn the earth to the ground around us with fossil fuels. The self-replicating, self-organizing Bitcoin system. The Bitcoin system mechanisms are designed to self-replicate and self-organize. While its consensus protocol ensures replication is accurate, and that it's perpetually trying to remove entropy from the state of Bitcoin, the artifact being the resulting blockchain, and the product, Bitcoin. The essence of the complex system's singular role is to be an arbiter of trust and truth in the face of adversity, to create a singular distributed current and historic state, an order that all nodes can reach consensus upon. Zero entropy is the ideal state of the system. This entropy is instead moving to the growing unspent transaction outputs, or UTXO, stored in the blockchain. In the digital realm, the cost to rearrange information generally trends toward decreasing on the macro scale as compute becomes more efficient. Thus, this process to remove informational entropy will become increasingly more efficient over time. The gravity of Bitcoin is increasing over time, increasing its economic mass and density, leading to an upwards trending efficiency in its system. Much has been studied about Bitcoin's sustainability, though much is yet to be uncovered. But as Bitcoin's heartbeat rings out every 10 minutes from now unto eternity, we will all be its students. Satoshi Nakamoto, in his infinite wisdom, codified trustlessness, cooperation, energy, time, commoditized it, democratized its access, and made it transportable through space and time in perpetuum. The sovereign, self-organizing system is designed in such a way as to provide its own governance away from any top-down influence or corruption. Bitcoin is the peak product of evolution in technology, pure capitalism, economics, and the beauty of thermodynamics, all working together in a state of perfect synergy. Bitcoin can bring about the apolitical time-energy world accounting system that Buckminster Fuller prophesized, steering spaceship Earth to a post-scarcity reality. By Rory Highside, October 2019. All right, and that was, again, our continuation through the Bitcoin Times second edition, and this one was titled Proof of Work, the Fundamental Laws of Physics and Nature. And there's a lot of interesting points. I don't have much time for commentary here, but I do want to hit a couple of things that I wrote down. One thing is just about the idea of proof of work and some of the fundamental realities of it that something like proof of stake just inherently doesn't have. Proof of stake is the same sort of trusted-based authority. It's the trust in someone else's, it's essentially in a set of keys, but you don't know the degree to which work, quote-unquote, was done in order to achieve those. Proof of work is literally a proof of work, and one of the most important things about it is that it is timeless. And Rory goes over this partly in this piece, was that it's cumulative and it compounds on top of itself. So the history, the entire history, achieves cumulative proof of work. So the longer back in the history you go, the greater the cost it would be for any sort of an adversary to contest that history. And just proof of work in general, what's the value of proof of work? It lies in a sort of proclamation. It's like it's a claim or a testament, a proof to the fact that you feel or that a participant understands that the cooperation is worth defense, that it's worth the work to make it actually to ensure its cooperative nature. It's sort of in a way that, like, you know, if you want to participate in this, you got to prove that it's worth something to you, and that's key to show value in something. It's critical to creating honesty and longevity in any sort of a social system, and this is a fundamental part of evolution. This is something that we see. This is not something that exists only in the Bitcoin space. It's something that's been inherent to evolution in life for an extremely long amount of time, for as long as we can go back and see it. And it's so simultaneously a form of value sacrifice, and in the Bitcoin system, in the Bitcoin sense, and a form of adding to the collective security of the system. So it's also, in the exact same sense, requiring the proof of work from others. Like, the participation in that system, in the proof of work, is also a demand on everyone else that's securing that system. And if you think about just like sort of a social system where anybody is getting together and trying to cooperate or do something or buying a product or service or participating in an institution, whatever it is, if participants are allowed free into a system, or that system is quote-unquote priced free on the market, that system's almost always abused. It's never valued at what it's truly worth. It's often ignored or even treated dismissively. When somebody is just given something, more often than not, it's just thrown away. It's perceived as valueless just because it took nothing to get it. Anybody who's tried to sell something or create a product or service probably knows what I'm talking about, that if you give something away for free, it's usually treated as if it's not worth anything. You know, the people sign up and they never follow up. They'll take it, but they never use it. They just dismiss it altogether under the assumption that it's exactly worth what the seller is willing to give it away for, which is nothing. But if you take that exact same thing and slap a $200 price tag on it, you could end up with more customers. There's actually a trading a course that I did at some point, and the guy had kind of figured out just a simple like money management plan to deal with like his retirement and stuff. And he tried to give it away for free for months and months and months, and nobody came to it. And then finally, one day he decided, all right, well, I'll just charge $50 or $100 for it. And suddenly people started showing up. And it was specifically in the fact that, like, they'll accept your perception of its value. So you slap a $200 price tag on this thing, and you could end up with more customers purchasing the product or service. And for those that do, most importantly, the people who do participate, who pay that price to get in, they pay attention. They handle it carefully. They work and listen to get their value out of it. They learn from it. They have skin in the game. Their relationship with it is entirely different. And just out the gate, they're wondering how great this thing could be if the seller thinks it's worth $200. And this is a huge dilemma of people who are always complaining about prices being too high, but then they literally won't buy the cheap thing because they think it's the cheap, terrible alternative. And this is not uncommon, even though it's not the typical conception. It's not the typical mindset that people will take. But that if you people want something of quality, and very often if you sell something for way under the value that it actually is, people won't buy it because they will assume it doesn't have any of that value. And it's very in line with the whole skin in the game concept. But it's also a combination of a few different kind of elements of this, you know, the human, the social creature that we are, is that to put a cost on the participation in the accounting and finalizing process is, you know, here's the cost to enter. You know, treat this dismissively and negligently at your own cost. It is you who will pay a high price for being negligent about participating in this system, because there's a verifiable, there's an absolutely verifiable work, and there's a verifiable set of rules that you have to follow. So if you're negligent and you accidentally, if you want to be an accountant and an arbiter in this cooperative system, there is an inescapable cost to it, and it forces people to value it incredibly highly, to invest for the long term. That's another thing about the proof of work and like the ASIC designs and computation and stuff, as opposed to, he even compares it to, tries to compare it to the IBM Summit, but, you know, says the caveat in the line that even though it's designed for an explicit purpose, still, just to put it in relation to, you know, the IBM supercomputer is like 400,000 times as much computational power. But what's funny, that's one of the amazing things about the system. That's one of the things that lets you know that the value has been put explicitly into the Bitcoin system, is that the only way to provide or to participate in that arbiter system to finalize and extend the artifact of all of this cooperation, the Bitcoin blockchain, is to invest in something that can't be used for anything else. You can't use a SHA-256 ASIC, hashing ASIC, to do anything but a SHA-256 hash, which is a great thing. It's not, there's so many people who misunderstood, and I did for a long time too. I always thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could do something else with this and mine Bitcoin? Couldn't we combine this with, I don't know, just running a supercomputer? Couldn't we use it for general computation, or maybe cracking passwords, or trying to find some other value to do with that? But that's kind of the problem with the whole DeFi versus staking argument, or the dynamics in that market, is that now you have a competitor. Is that if that investment is valued in some other market, you don't have to have suddenly your stake necessary in the ASIC market, in the Bitcoin mining market, can be frivolous. You know, maybe I just bought the ASIC because I can do all of this other stuff with it that might be valuable, and I'll just mine Bitcoin for a couple of days. Maybe I'll participate. Maybe I want to cheat somebody out of some money, and I think I can mine or rehash an entire block backwards in the chain and double spend somebody. If the investment is in mining hardware that can't do anything else but mine on Bitcoin, if it is an ASIC that you have to invest in, well, then not only have you wasted the enormous amount of energy that it took to reproduce that block, you've also completely destroyed the point of the entire mining infrastructure that you just built in order to accomplish that one task. So your sunk cost is a waste, and your active ongoing cost is a waste. Whose piece was that? I'm talking about the fair proof of work. I think it was Nick Carter's. He just recently released one about the fair proof of work and talked about that dynamic. And then Hasufly had a piece that was kind of went into that same concept. And I'm not sure if I'll be reading both of those on the show, but I feel like both of those will be coming up soon. So I will inevitably be talking about this again, and we'll come back to it. But there's a quote that was just kind of in line with this whole idea from Rory Highside in this article. The cumulative work process progressively hardens the system security, building a digitally represented, impenetrable fortress of thermodynamic potential that not only thwarts would-be adversaries, but converts them into supporters of the Bitcoin time energy accounting system. And that is just one of those things. Turns adversaries into supporters. I just really like that line. And that was one of the things that blew my mind, like really getting into Bitcoin and understanding Bitcoin for the first time, of the different economic and networking realities, the incentive structure at the heart of this system to make such a thing possible. Think about it. Like, before Bitcoin and this proof of work Nakamoto consensus, the only real means of accomplishing these same things, of figuring out who the adversary was, and to they were all variations of the same method. Our social systems have always really worked much the same way, and they can never really be decentralized. It was a form of codifying, in a sense, a centralized system that allowed people to cooperate and come into it. So it was always some variation on centralized vetting or like whitelisting and or blacklisting of who can participate or who can produce within a system. It was always a form of authority or standardization through some sort of centralized institution, some identity or reputation system, etc. It was always some variation on the same trust model or the same needs, but kind of moving things in different locations to allow different sorts of agreements or different scales of these institutions. But never before were we able to do this without any vetting, specifically, like purposefully without vetting, without knowing who any of the participants are, without any single source to define the rules of that system, without any central authority enforcing or even interpreting those rules. Bitcoin is the first time that has ever been possible all in a single system. And it works on a global scale, entirely independent of every political institution on the planet. When people talk about Bitcoin not just being some new payment system or new money for the internet, but literally a multi-thousand year innovation, that is the level of thing that we are talking about. Is the level of organizing people in a way that we have literally never been able to do before. You don't have to know each other. You don't have to know the one person who has the rules. There's no explicit rule set. You download and participate with whichever rules you want to participate in, but you will only be joining the Bitcoin network if you are using the Bitcoin network's rules. Nobody has to know or care who you are. You and no one else has any authority over anyone else within the system. This is something that is at the level of millennia in terms of profound innovation. And it's just the first time that something like that's ever been possible. And it's crazy that it really is proof of work. It is that undeniable. There is no contesting it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts that, you know, there's a special person who's got this cost or someone else. It is an absolute unforgeable costliness. Everyone has the exact same cost who participates in the proof of work system, and there is no way around it. There's no shortcut. There's no using old keys. There's no nothing. You either produce the proof of work or you do not. Okay, now I'm way over time here, but I did want to say one more thing, even though there's like a whole section on thermodynamics and basically the whole part two. There was one thing that was said that I really just want to hit before we close this out. And that quote is, energy is really only useful when it's ordered and clumped together. So the more concentrated and ordered, or the lower the entropy, the higher the potential energy output, therefore increasing its ultimate usefulness to perform potential work, end quote. So this is just something that just kind of struck me. I had never heard this described this way. Like, I always kind of had just a vague idea. It's like, well, I know what potential energy is. Like, I can identify it. But I never really had a good mental frame of what it was, and I'd never heard it described in quite this way before. But I had to stop in the middle of reading that and write down some notes so I didn't forget it. But that potential energy is a measure of the increasing amounts of order, because order is inherently, like, desperate to return to disorder. Like, the second law of thermodynamics, we know all things will increase the entropy, right? So it leads to the increasing disorder of the universe. So because of that, potential energy is, in a sense, the ordering of the universe in such a way that it wants to become disorderly again. So the more densely and more concentrated that order is, the more potential there is in utilizing that to do something else, because it must then be released back into disorder. Like, it wants to then create additional entropy in the universe. And that in all of our energy consumption and stuff is inherent to trying to find a way to utilize that potential energy. Create that potential energy so that it can then be utilized in a very specific and orderly way. And I did never really, I don't know, that just puts it in a kind of a logical framework that I had never, it was just a little bit new to me. I've always kind of thought about it and I guess maybe it's just, you know, physics class or wherever I heard about it, is just kind of the idea of like kind of an apple sitting on the edge of a table, is that, you know, I framed it in my mind as like, okay, well, this probably will happen. This is likely to happen. But I never really thought about it as kind of the defiance and then eventual appeasement of the second law of thermodynamics. So I just thought that was a neat way to think about it. And so I wanted to mention it before we close this episode out. This was a truly dense piece and lots of really good stuff in it, and a continuation. Again, this is all by Rory Highside, Proof of Work, The Fundamental Laws of Physics and Nature, and of course our continuation, and getting close to the end here of the Bitcoin Times second edition. Thank you guys so much for listening. Do not forget to drop some applause on this article. I've got a couple other pieces of this highlighted on the Medium page. A couple other quotes if you wanted to check those out and drop some applause on this on the Medium page. I will link to it in the show notes and on the Twitter post so that you can do that. And of course, do not forget to subscribe to the show. This is The Crypto Economy and I am Guy Swan. If you would like to support my work, don't forget that you can always become a patron at patreon.com/thecryptoeconomy, and as little as $1 a month will get you access to the Crypto Economy Telegram crew. And we have got some new guys. We've had like 3 people jump in very recently. So a huge thank you to those guys. It's John Jaget or Jet. I'm not even sure how. I never knew how to pronounce that. And Craig Wright. Which his avatar is killing me right now. But if you guys don't want to become a patron, or that's no too much of a hassle, the one thing you can always do to support this show is share it out with everyone you know in the Bitcoin and crypto economy space. And until next time, thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take it easy, guys.